What's going on, guys? And welcome back to this week's episode of the Let's Just Talk podcast. I'm super excited, as I always am, with guests coming on. And I think this one will be a little bit of out of left field that we haven't probably been anywhere close to. And we're actually just talking off air that, Georgina was saying that, you know, my guests are kind of all over the place. And that's what I've been really trying to do of late. And I really enjoyed some of the variety of conversations I had. But a video of yours, Georgina, caught my eyes a little while back, and we kind of started conversing, and here we are today, and we'll talk more about that. But I appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Excellent. And again, I was saying this, and I love saying this way because I always love the reaction. We are popping another cherry today in that it is your first podcast. And so, I'm looking forward to seeing how you go with that. But I'm sure we'll do fine, and I'm sure we'll have a great conversation.
Yeah, sounds awesome, Adam.
Excellent. Well, I guess for people looking in, I'm sure the title of the podcast is going to give away kind of what you do in some way, shape or form. But for those who haven't come across your content or don't know who you are or what your business does, give us the kind of, I guess, the elevator pitch of what you guys do.
So I'm an architect. I've been an architect for more than 20 years now. I've always worked in the traditional space for homes. And I've had my own business for about 12 years. And in the more recent past, so in the last year or so, I've been very interested in taking architecture and good design to the masses, I suppose. And that's where I started doing some stuff on TikTok and things like that. And interestingly, that's kind of exploded. And so nowadays, I don't know, things look a little bit different, I suppose, but it's very interesting. Yeah, we just aim to help people get good design into their homes, and it's been an interesting journey, put it that way.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, yeah. It's exactly how we kind of, cross paths, because I did see a video on TikTok myself, and I'm guilty of scrolling that platform far too much, but I enjoy it because I enjoy what I get kind of shown. And I've kind of shared with you again off camera before that, design and kind of architecture is always being something I'm quite interested in that myself personally, I love Victorian homes and I love the idea of renovating them in a new way, but kind of also holding to the kind of true, I guess, design that is there in that architectural type design. And so my wife and I have always said we'd love to renovate a Victorian home someday. However, we also know that we would probably kill each other in the process. And so in doing that, we came across our dream home that was a Victorian home that had been renovated to the hills, and we are now living in that dream home. And so I'm glad we have that dream and we haven't had to go through the nightmare of that. But that kind of leads me to my question that I want to ask is that I'm sure that you have couples or people come to you and say, design our home and this is what we've got in our head. How do you kind of take what us lay people in the general kind of public kind of go, this is my design, and actually put it into practice and in a way that actually is going to, I guess, honor that home, honor the client, and do a service to guess what you do best?
I guess there's sort of two things there. I think like what's at its core, what's really most important to me, and I think what's most important for most people living in homes, is that it really works well. So I guess what we try and do is really make sure that we develop a plan for the house that's going to really function in a modern sense very well. And especially, I love Victorian homes as well. I live in a Victorian terrace, renovated that with my husband and family. And then, so there's the function of it, which I think we do very well, and which, I don't know, it's just very, very important for modern life, I think, so you don't kill each other. And then I think there's the overlay of like the look, which can just be very individual. And I like to take cues from the client to really develop that such that it's a person's home. It really feels like them and feels like the cues that they've given us, you know, that we use to develop the design. And also I think, especially when you're dealing with homes that are Victorian or of a certain character, I think it's always good to just make it a really good example of that type of character of home. And so therefore not do anything that's particularly jarring or doesn't sit well alongside that style. That's not to say it can't be modern, but it has to sit comfortably alongside the style. So look, I find normally people are very mindful of the functional aspects of a home. So once you show them how it should be, they're usually in complete agreement. And it's just the style thing where everyone varies quite a bit. But even that said, I feel like there's certain looks or style that almost, 90% of people will love and want to a degree.
Mm.
It sounds a bit boring maybe. And everything can be personalized, but yeah, I find there are definite themes that are popular.
You bring up the word functionality, and kind of the thing that comes to mind is, I don't know if you remember this show or if you even came across it, but I'm going to say in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, there was a show called Pimp My Ride. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yeah, I've heard of this show.
There was a guy called a rapper called Exhibit. And basically what he did is he teamed up with this kind of customization, kind of car customization company. Yeah. And what they would do is they would get these guys who had rundown cars that were, absolute bombs of cars, and then not only bring them back to life, but then put like spars in the back of like the car and things like this. And I remember looking
amazing.
At that.
Yeah.
They look amazing on a kind of showroom floor. Like, oh my God, this thing's got a fairy floss. Yeah, it's fun and it's fairy floss machine in it. Yeah. It's got a spar. But then I think that guy has to then drive that car home. And how on earth is exactly
every day, in every weather, in every situation. And so it's like, I don't know, architecture I don't think is the same as fashion or say if you're talking about clothes that you wear, for example, you can take off this top and put on another one. You don't get as sick of things as when you're living alongside something. I think it's very possible that you will get sick of it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have, a strong functionality and, I don't know. That's how I feel anyway.
It's a bit of
a point of view.
For sure. But the parallel that kind of comes to mind these days, and please correct me if I'm way off point on this, but shows like The Block and kind of renovating type shows have to, I guess, appeal to an audience that is obviously watching an entertaining show.
Yeah.
And so I guess those shows kind of create homes that there's obviously got to be some sort of functionality. But to me, sometimes I see some things that they do that go, that looks amazing for a photo shoot or it's entertaining to kind of film. But God, living with that just makes me. And so have you seen that and kind of.
I can't actually watch those shows. So.
And that was my question.
No,
so
I just can't. I can't do it. No.
You say you don't watch them, but have you kind of come across like a friend has seen, oh, Georgina, did you see this weekend? Is there been something that was so egregious to your kind of, professionalism? Like, oh my God, how do they even think that was going to actually work? Or is there?
I can't actually watch it. So I can't really comment on that. Would be a good question, but I haven't actually watched a full episode of anything. The only one is Grand Designs. I've seen a few of those, and I've got a friend in my office that talks about that quite a bit. Or he always references a show called Someone's Love It or List It.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's from the past. It's an old one as well. But yeah, no, I think there's a lot of stuff in the media though about houses that's really just about style and probably just about a two-dimensional image, whereas I think that architecture and home design is really about an experience and how you actually live in a space and, enjoy it from that perspective. So in a way, video has been like a fabulous thing for me because I've been able to articulate a lot more of those concepts than I ever could in a 2D image, So, I guess I see a lot of tat, like style kind of crap around the place that I don't think really nails the point of how you actually could improve your space from a functional perspective.
to lend on the back of that kind of comment then, again, this is just a personal thing for me. And again, you might go, no, it's great. We actually see it work really well in kind of home. The idea of an open bathroom to me, just water goes everywhere. I don't like it. I never have. I like doors and I like
you mean an open shower?
Yeah, open shower kind of. Yeah, sorry, bathroom's probably the wrong word. Yeah,
not so open, like open bathroom.
No. An open, I've always kind of, I mean, for me, I'm not like I'm doing star jumps in the shower and water's going everywhere kind of thing, but the idea of kind of the functionality of an actual shower, for me, this open where there's a bar sitting next to it and then there's
even in Perth. You know, it's funny you say that because I noticed that that's a very divisive concept. The idea of do you have a shower door or do you not have a shower door? Like people fight about it online a lot. I don't know. Like I can do both. I have done both. I think our shower at home is quite open, but I'm actually coming around to your point of view lately. I do think it's actually better to have a door. Something nice about steaming yourself. I guess it just depends. Sometimes if you're dealing with a space that's really small as well, it can be just a bit of a door party if you have like a shower door and like
sure.
not much space. But if you had a lot of space, yeah, for sure, I'd do a door. Yeah. But I have seen a lot of people fighting about that that issue.
My wife and I, that's why I say, like, we love Victorian homes and we love a modern look, but there are certain things that we have always just disagreed wholeheartedly on. And that's why I said we would never be able to actually renovate a home because we're both very headstrong. It's like there is no chance we're having open and there is no chance we're having
a door. I tell you what, like, it's a very confronting thing to renovate a home. Like, have you renovated a home otherwise? Like,
before any time?
So, yeah, I think it is a very confronting thing and it can be quite hard on a couple. Sometimes I think maybe certain people are just not meant to be renovators because it does involve a fair level of being able to manage risk, and be comfortable with that, you know.
For sure.
Really risk-averse people that really struggle, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not handy in any way, shape, or form. I've always said the joke, but there's quite a bit of truth to it that I've gone to YouTube how to change a light bulb. Like I genuinely have zero.
I don't think you need to be handy, but you need to be able to kind of tolerate a fair amount of lack of surety, and you know, it's pretty stressful.
Yeah,
a lot of cost, a lot of money. You know, it's a big investment.
Yeah. And where do most people, and kind of coming back to that, I guess, where, you know, you have a client then sit in front of you and kind of you go through that process. Is there a thing that most people get wrong when starting out that journey, whether it being designing a home from scratch or doing a reno in some way, shape or form? Is there something where most people kind of start from a place where you have to just make this big change? Or is there a common theme that most people tend to, this is what they're thinking, but you have to actually know we have to do this because that's not going to work that way? Or yeah, where do people go wrong in the whole process?
I think often people are in, like, denial is a big theme. Like, so I think when people start out, maybe they're hoping that it won't be as big a deal as it might turn out to be. Like, for example, they might come in and say, oh, I just want to do like a few bathrooms and the kitchen. And, you know, it's almost never that simple. Then you start to ask questions about, well, you know, is the place leaking, or like, have you got any troubles with, you know, water ingress, or like, and it's almost always yes. So I guess I would just say to people, I think it's very important at the outset to have an understanding of what your, maybe what optimization of your property actually looks like, so that you get a kind of master plan in a way. So you really look at your whole property and you don't end up just investing a whole bunch of money in, say, doing 3 bathrooms, when you might end up having to redo that because they're not in the right spot or something like that. Mm. So I think maybe the error that is common in the first instance is where people, kind of get too narrow focused too quickly without actually checking to see, hang on, if I just move that bathroom over here, it would open up all these other opportunities for use of the home. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of always encourage people to try to look for the master plan of the home, even if they decide not to do it all at once or even not to pursue it all, but it might just open up some solution that they hadn't thought of. Because I find that sort of design, like the design of layouts and master plans and things like that, it's generally not intuitive. It's weird, like a normal person can't usually see the answer mm-hmm. of where things actually belong.
And does that come back?
Absolutely.
And then, I mean, I see that all the time as a health professional when I'm kind of helping people recover from an injury. So many people kind of do get narrow-minded in that I hurt my knee and so therefore I have to strengthen my knee. When actually, it stemmed from your hip. So let's look at maybe strengthening up the hip, and then that will actually help. So, that makes complete sense.
In some way, like it's, And I think also with building, it's like even just building one room, like a bathroom or something, can be like 40, 50, 60 grand, you know? I mean, it's a lot of money. And if you're going to spend that money, like, don't invest it in the wrong place. Like, you know, make sure you got your bathroom in the right place and you've got, you know, it just seems like it's an awful lot of money to spend without fully understanding if that is the actual answer to the problem. Like you say, it's a good analogy, actually, the, you know, sore knee, you know, strength and core kind of scenario. Mm. So that can be hard, I guess, for people to understand.
And for people kind of that do say, I just want to do a bathroom, as you say, or I'm just going to renovate a kitchen, it'd be nice if we all had endless money and we can just throw 100 grand at a kitchen, and if it doesn't work out, that's fine, you know, kind of thing. Most people don't have that option. So do most people tend to, in their head at least, overcapitalize in a certain area, be it a bathroom or a kitchen, because I presume they're mostly where most people start renovation. So I'm going to renovate a lounge room. Normally isn't the kind of...
No, it's usually the most common starting point, I'd say, and then bathrooms. So the two, for sure.
And so, I mean, I know this is a very general kind of statement and question for you to answer, but what should people kind of be investing as a percentage of their house? You know, if I've got the $1 million house and I want to kind of do, is there kind of hard and fast rules that, again, I always hear on a lot of these shows, never spend more than 5% on a bathroom, you know, are they kind of rules to stick to or not necessarily always? And sometimes, you know, it depends on the house or.
Not necessarily, but it's just, I guess in our world, in Sydney, it's, you know, as you probably heard, the building costs are going mental. Like, they're very high. It's always been bad, but these days, in the last 2 or 3 years, it's gone just through the roof, the costs of actually building stuff. I would say, look, you know, often the kitchens that will do will be like your 80 to 100 grand for sure. That's if you want a bespoke, like, joiner made kitchen. And I guess it's just about whether you have the money. Like, if you wanted to do a kitchen that's made of IKEA, like, I've done that before as well. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a I don't know, it's a different level of finish altogether. Mm-hmm. But my concern, if I was that person building a house, would just mainly be to get things in the right spot and then to pick the level of finish that best suits your, I don't know, your money situation and how much you feel like you want to invest. But I guess with stuff like if you're just dealing with a room, you do have the ability to choose. Whereas if you're actually reconfiguring your house, you're kind of a bit more at the whim of building costs and, you know, it costs kind of what it costs, which is a lot more than just a room, you know.
And you've said layout a couple of times. And again, the video that kind of brought me into your kind of world was you were redesigning and kind of the layout of just a bedroom. It wasn't even kind of architecturally in anything. It was just like the bed probably shouldn't be here. It probably be better suited over there, or kind of, I say all of that because are there, I mean, I'm in a Victorian home and it's a very typical, you know, kind of there was a front lounge room and then there's a couple of bedrooms and there's a hallway and it kind of, and then the whole back end of this house is now being completely blown out and it's this big open space. Are there trends like, I mean, obviously these days, everything is big open plan, you know, it's these big combining kind of things. Obviously 100 years ago when Victoria, 120 years ago when Victorian homes were, everyone had room kind of thing. Are we going to get 100 years from now and this big open space that we all do now, they're going to go, what idiots were doing that back then? Like, we need to close everything up. Like, does it go in circles like that or?
To an extent, but also you can't go back in a way. Like, I mean, it's already come back a little bit, I would say. Like, people are a bit interested now in sort of the sustainability kind of impacts, and so therefore you might shut down different parts of rooms, you know, to keep the heat in or sort of functions like this. And also COVID has impacted things a lot. Like, so now everyone, no one would have like a media nook anymore. It would be like, no, I need a room where I can like shout into Zoom all day and my wife's not going to, you know, murder me. So it's like, I think things have changed. But I still think that basically the principle with the Victorian homes, like what you'd be living in, would have been like when they were renovating that, it would have been the case that the spaces towards the rear of your home probably would have been in like dreadful, built-in dreadful quality. Like it would have just been outhouse after outhouse after outhouse. Like usually it's a compound of spaces on the back. So typically the pattern with a renovation like that will be that you basically cut off all that detritus at the rear and build something solid and new and secure and dry and something hopefully that transitions well to the outside. You know, if you've got some sort of outside space, you want to be able to enjoy that. So I think that's a timeless principle, you know, and obviously it makes sense to build it completely new and you might in some circumstances you'll have two stories, you know, so that's better if it's new. And usually probably the building that would have been there before you renovate or your predecessors renovated would have just been the room on room on room and you would have had to go to through like three or four rooms to get to the outside and you would have been accessing it through a laundry or a toilet or something, you know, just not benefiting you at all. So I think, there's sort of trends but I think some of the principles are quite timeless and valid. You know, as long as people keep wanting to experience the outside.
Yeah. I suppose. And I mean, to that point, you know, as you said, there's been a slight shift because of COVID and different things that have happened and what are you seeing kind of happening in the, I guess the design world at the moment that you're really excited about, like you're seeing some new trends that are kind of coming about that like, gee, that's really cool. I haven't thought about that. And I love how that's starting to happen.
I love all the passive house stuff that's happening. That's really cool. So,
which is, sorry.
Oh, like better insulation, you know, some people are pushing it right to the edge and, you know, have these houses that are completely contained ecosystems of climate, so they will maintain a climate of like 22.5 degrees inside, you know, with very little air conditioning load. So I don't know. And some of these principles we're using in our mainstream work now. So double glazing, for example, is becoming more mainstream. It's still, it's expensive. So a lot of people still don't choose to do it, but a lot more people these days are seeing the value in it, I think, you know, just for the thermal performance of the building. It reduces everyone's energy bills. It's just, you know, you're not losing all your heat, you know, through the windows, throwing money away, you know. So, and there's certain wraps and technology for buildings now that really help with the waterproofing and the breathability of the building. So I love that sort of stuff. I'm not an expert by any means, but I like to sort of start to use some of the methods that the builders are doing. And yeah, it's good.
Do you think that's being driven primarily by people just wanting to save money, or is it primarily for an environmental kind of impact? Yeah. Or
I think there's far more of a feeling of interest in trying to do things that are positive environmentally. I think it's a sort of ethical thing partly.
It's also legally driven as well now. Isn't there standards that kind of need to be met?
There are, but they're fairly basic. I must say they're fairly basic.
Okay.
The whole passive house, or the what's possible, is far more than that, far more than the codes dictate is possible, and would probably benefit you from a financial perspective after some time. You know, you would start to see a benefit from that money-wise. But yeah, it's a constant trade-off though, because there's always the sort of shocking quantums of money involved in these sort of projects, and then there's the desire to do something good. And it makes sense that you would design your building in such a way that it would have decent insulation and thermal performance, but then when the rubber hits the road and you're confronted with a massive cost plan, maybe some people start throwing things out, which is, you know, which is fair enough. So, but it is interesting. So,
and
becoming more mainstream
with regards to design itself, like throw environmental impact out kind of for a month. Is there something that just like is really kind of exciting to you, just purely from a design perspective, or how people are kind of doing things or creating kind of spaces that kind of really excite you as well?
I guess I like there's been a bit of stuff going around about, you know, multi-generational living, which I quite like. And all this stuff about working and living at home and all of that, like accommodating this stuff more and more in the home. So the home becomes a much more active, dynamic place even than it was before, meeting all sorts of different needs. I guess something that's been blowing my mind a bit is, you know, since we started all this social media journey, we've now been getting plans from people's houses, like from all over the world. And that's been blowing my mind quite a lot. I don't know if it's not exactly a positive thing. I can see that there's challenges everywhere in the world. I don't know. Yeah, design-wise, yeah, there's a lot of things that people do that are amazing. I don't know.
That's right. And tell me with regards to the kind of whole social media thing, because, I mean, I'm just talking purely from my example of the architects I know and the interior designers I know. They probably are the most least social media savvy people I've ever met in my life. And so you come across very well on social, and the kind of, the videos that you're creating and the way that you describe it is so simple and easy to understand. And it's like, oh, I can see how I could do that. And that, you know, and so was that a conscious decision of yours at a certain time? Was it because of COVID? You just thought, I'll do it while I've got maybe some spare time, and it kind of took off. Like, what was the inspiration to kind of diving into that social world?
That's an interesting question, because I don't think I knew exactly where we got. I still don't know where this is going exactly, but I I guess I have this interest in taking the good design and architecture to the masses and having that conversation with normal everyday people who have homes. Like, I'm not really interested in talking to architects about, you know, I do that as well, but I'm more interested in just the everyday person and their experience of a home and how I could possibly help them to make the most of their home. And so I started doing some TikToks because I thought, my mum's not on TikTok, my friends are not on TikTok. I thought, no one will know. So I started doing these videos on TikTok, and just with an experiment in mind of like, is anyone interested? Does anyone actually care about, like, do any normal people, not architects, care about these sort of things? I was just looking to see what people said, and it was amazing. So like, pretty quickly, like, I remember the first one that happened, it got like, I don't know, 3.5 million views overnight. I was like, whoa, you know. So then it was kind of just really interesting to see what people were saying, and they started telling me what they wanted and what they needed. And so I've just been listening and seeing if there's anything that I can offer that would actually, yeah, be helpful. Because there's such a lot of, it appears like there's such a lot of confusion around this whole topic. And yet there seems like there's a lot of interest as well. Like, it, so I don't know, it kind of breaks my heart when I see all this energy and resources and money being poured into something that I could, like, I'm like, if someone could have just told you that it would be better to do it this way or that way, or just guided you a little bit, that could have been so much better. Anyway, so it's been interesting.
I mean, to that point, I mean, when you have a video go so viral like that, I'm sure you didn't set out, this video, I guarantee, is gonna, it's gonna have millions of views. You obviously don't ever have that.
I didn't even know that was possible. No.
But how does that change you overnight? Like, you wake up in the morning and then you see your phone has absolutely melted from those kind of views and all the comments that are coming through.
Yeah,
like, where do you even start to kind of go through that and look at that and kind of take apart what people are actually saying to kind of then give some sort of feedback that will actually be helpful to them and then create the next video?
That's also a really good comment, because like, I remember the night that happened, I got a bit freaked out, like a bit almost frightened, because I was like, you know, I remember I said this to my mum. I said, she was like, what are you doing on the top tick? You know, she doesn't know anything about it. I said, this weird thing happened last night. Like, this video got like 3.5 million views. And she's like, I think you should stop that immediately. And I think she was like, I get it. It's like this weird thing of like, I don't know, you just feel all of a sudden quite exposed or something, and like, anyway, and what have I done? Like, this isn't what I intended exactly. But anyway, I slowly kind of thought, no, this is a good thing. I can get a lot from these comments and stuff. So I actually there's a young guy in our office, and he's been teaching me about the terminology and stuff, like the, what is it, ASMR and like, anyway, all the things. And so I got him to read, like, there were thousands of, you know, there's thousands of comments and stuff. I get him to read it and kind of filter it back, at least in the beginning I did, because I was so, I don't know, a bit freaked out, because it's like the Wild West TikTok. It's like,
absolutely,
it's a riddle. So he would sort of translate some comments to me, and then I would go from there. So I've got a bit less sensitized about it these days, but still it can get to you a bit.
And again, yeah, it's a valid point you bring up and kind of getting to you. I mean, I've been sticking a camera in my face for 7 years now, kind of thing. And I always remember hearing the comment by someone I started following, the reason why I kind of started posting more of a document of my life is that Gary V, he's an entrepreneur in America, and he's always said, so he's always said document rather than create. Yeah. And I remember always in the early days of social media trying to create always, and like, what can I do tomorrow? I got to try and create. And then he said that, and I'm like, oh my God, like there's a reason why.
I agree. Yeah.
There's a reason why like reality shows tend to hit home so well is because they're reality and you're kind of watching someone kind of just live their life. And so I started doing that and it gained traction and people are like invested. And I don't know if this has happened to you yet, but a couple of times now I've been noticed on the street and like, oh, you're that guy from there kind of thing. And how's your daughter going? And it was weird to hear someone ask that question that is normally such a personal question that maybe a family member might ask. And I was taken back when the first time it happened, kind of like, how do you know about my, like, I don't know who you are. But then you kind of, oh, hang on. I've been documenting that for years. Of course, I've watched my kids grow up and some of my family don't like the fact that I do, because again, like your mother's like, get off that because they're gonna do this and that. And I get it. I understand.
Be outside your house or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what she was afraid of, but, you know.
But have you been noticed on this? Like, oh, I watch your videos, number one. But for two, kind of getting back to, as I said, feeling quite exposed by it, is that something that you actually revel in and that you're like, actually, no, I can see the upside to this. I'm going to really lean in on that. And this is going to be great for not only business, but for me to actually help people with the issues that they're having.
I think actually you might have listened to, do you know Alex Hormozy's stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you're in fitness, you might have seen some of his stuff.
Yep.
I liked it where he said something like he always used to aspire just to be a rich guy, like an anonymous rich guy. And I guess, and then he said at some point he was talking to someone that he trusted and they said, look, you know, sometimes you just got to accept that you've got to put your face to it to have the impact you might want to have. And I don't know, like, it's not exactly what I planned, but like when I saw the impact of the videos and things, I think it's just a matter of, I think I've just got to do it. Like, just got to do what you got to do. So it's like,
that's leaning fine. In.
Yeah, that's fine. I've already got over the worst bit, which is, you know, shoving a camera in your face.
Yep.
So I figure now I can just get better at it. And that's just the way it's going to go, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a part on your pages and I think your website that you do as well is like Ask the Architect kind of idea. And I kind of asked this of you is like, why use an architect? And so like someone might be sitting there going, you know, I could just get a builder and then they can build my home. I could go to an architect. I could go to a designer. Like, where do I even start? Like to ask the question of like, why would someone kind of step into your office and go, hey, Georgina, can you help me? Like,
look, that's a really, really good question. And it's something like, you know, I've been working as a traditional architect for like 20 years. And I know what you say about architects are typically kind of academic, nerdy, quiet kind of people. And they, you know, they talk in a different way often to like normal people.
Yeah.
And so I guess I've been a bit frustrated with the whole offering of architects as well. I think it's not very accessible. So, you know, when you ask the question, like, just a fact, I mean, architects only design about 1% of homes anyway, right?
Is that right? Okay.
Which I think is a shame because I think, you know, architects have a lot of value to give, but maybe it's not always packaged or presented in a way that is that helpful to a person who's just trying to improve their home, you know, or maybe build a new one. So I think, look, I mean, the way I think of it is that you probably shouldn't just ask a builder to design your home. That's not where their skill lies. You know, they want to build a building. They don't want to design it, usually. So I think it's worth getting the design sorted before you see your builder. But, you know, I guess what we're trying to do through the Ask an Architect kind of channel is try to give that architectural input in a no strings attached kind of fashion, so that then you can get the benefit of that maybe without having to go through more of a convoluted, you know, full service traditional arrangement. And it's still very experimental. Don't know if it's 100% possible, but I don't know, we're trying.
No, and I love that. And I love the fact that you are kind of, for lack of a better word, shaking things up in the industry that it is. Because as I said, I shared with you offline before we started that, you know, I've been lucky enough to have clients of mine who came to me for their own reasons who have been architects. And I'm a very, I don't know how this is going to come across. I'm a very personable person as an exercise physiologist and a professional in what I do, in that I am always asking questions. And right. That has turned some clients away from me because they're like, I'm coming to you for your professional help. Why are you asking me so many? But I'm just a curious person.
Right?
I'm just a curious person by nature. And I love asking questions of the people I am. And I've learned so much from so many of my clients over the years. And you hit the nail on the head. Every single architect I've ever worked with has been exactly as you said. They're very academic. They're very engineering
very
type
smart.
Minded.
Are
incredibly
smart.
Intelligent.
You know, I think it's a lot of the architects I know are wonderful. They're wonderful people. I just having run my own practice now for 12 years, I was pretty frustrated with just my inability to help more people as well. Like, you know, I can't tell you over COVID, like I said no to so many people because there was such a rush of inquiry, but the jobs are often too small to really justify our involvement. Mm. You know, is this sort of thing going on? So I felt like, well, what are all those people meant to do? Like, you know, they have their home, they want to optimize their home. It's just the traditional services don't really service that because the profit in their servicing is just not there.
For sure.
You'd go broke if you tried to service people in the traditional method in that, like, for that scale of job.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just wouldn't be worth it, you know, for the client, I mean, to pay that much.
For sure.
You know, so it was bugging me a bit.
And I guess for that then, I always say I like people kind of when they're listening to my podcast to be able to walk away with some sort of actionable thing that they can kind of do straight away, no matter what the kind of guest kind of areas of specialty. So for you, for people at home kind of listening to this, like, you know, whether they're thinking about doing some monster renovation and kind of completely demolishing the home and, you know, kind of, as you said, blowing out the back and doing everything, or it's just, I just want to change that bathroom in some small way. Where is the best place that people can kind of start tomorrow to improve their home without actually engaging with a professional? Like, what do you think is the kind of first thing that, is it just like repaint a room or is it kind of put new tile? Like, what's something small that someone can do tomorrow that, you know what, I think this is the best bang for buck to kind of get a fresh look on your house. It'll kind of start the process that maybe you'd start the bigger renovation down later, but that people can kind of get that sense.
I don't know if this is this is useful, but where my mind goes when you ask this question, I'm thinking, like, I would start by throwing a lot of stuff out in your house. Like, if you're like you're very beginning of the process, you're just starting to think about things. I don't know, maybe your house is not, you're aware that your house is not working, like it's troubling you, it's not working. I would start by clear the place out, like just start throwing out anything that's not useful. Honestly, I would just start with a good cull, a good skip bin, and like just get rid of the non-essential, and then maybe you can see with a little more clarity, like perhaps what is the step you need to take, you know, because then I would say, get some sort of master plan for your home after that. But first, I'd say just clear the crap and like clear the decks a bit. I don't know.
No, I think that's that's a perfect response. Because
that's where I'd start for anyone. If you're not even thinking about renovating, but just you want to get greater clarity, greater functionality perhaps into your home, then clear it out.
That's a perfect response because, I mean, I remember listening to, watching the movie that had the guys that were the minimalist.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And where we are as well, I mean, as I said, we've moved into now a bigger home than we've ever had in our lives. And I lived in Melbourne for my entire life, and especially the last kind of decade or so, it's always been in apartment or very small homes. And now we're in a home that is so much bigger than anything. And yet everything we've ever had in that very small two-bedroom apartment that we used to have in Melbourne now beautifully fits into kind of this home, and yet it's so much bigger. And so I say...
Probably had too much in the house before.
Yeah, I should have been throwing out a lot kind of back in those days. Yeah, but to your point from there is that it's a funny thing that my wife, I kind of take a step back. I love plantation shutters. I'm obsessed by plantation shutters, and I think they go so well with a Victorian home. And we've got three bedrooms in this house that, as I said, part of the front house that don't have those shutters in. I said to my wife, I really want to get plantation shutters. And she goes, get a quote. Let's see what they are. And so went to a quote. They're about $2,500 for the kind of three. They're very large windows that we've got. And I think so too. I thought, that seems reasonable kind of thing. And we've obviously just spent all of our money purchasing our dream home. And she said, until we have that money saved up, it's not going to happen. I'm like, if I can get the money together though, can we do it? And she's like, deal. So I went back to that kind of minimalist kind of mindset. And I'm like, I'm sure there's some things in here we haven't seen in 6 months. To Facebook. And so I did start, to your point, start culling things like, okay, I haven't used that. I can't use that. I'll put that up. There's $20 there. There's $50 there.
It makes you feel so good.
And it's amazing. Like, as you said, like we've cleared so many things out, and yet I didn't think we could clear anymore because like, what's left there kind of thing. And I got myself about $3,000 off Facebook Marketplace from selling all these things. And so I haven't pulled the trigger yet because now I go, what else could I sell? And maybe we could do even more. But to your point, it's like I think culling is the best place to start for most people.
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, I know so many people, and I know so many of my clients when they first come in to meet us and we see their home for the first time, I'm often just like, you know, please just go get a skip bin, do the work, clear it out. Like that will make a good first step, and then you'll be able to at least see truly what the problem is, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's not always that clear.
Well, thank you so much for your tips and tricks and things that we've kind of spoken about today.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate, as I said, your time, and I can only presume how much busier you are now because of your dive into social media world. And I mean, has that been something for your business as well? Have you now gained a lot of business because of what you've been doing on social as well?
Oh yeah, like heaps. It's a different kind of business though. So it's we're trying to change our offerings so that I guess we do have the flexibility to offer this to people that are global. Like last week I did designs for people in the US, like several people in the US, someone in Ireland, someone in Uganda.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't believe it. So it's crazy. But we're still doing the traditional stuff as well. So it's a bit busy. We'll have to work on that for sure.
Well, I wish you nothing but continued success and everything moving forward. And, keep doing what you're doing because, as I said, if I can speak from a personal standpoint, it's certainly what you do and how you do it comes across in a non-threatening way and a really kind of easy-to-understand way. And that world of architecture can be quite scary for people. It's like, they're too fancy. I need to be a millionaire. So no, you do it really well. And so I appreciate everything you do.
It's really nice to hear from like a real person. Actually. So that's great. Thank you.
For people trying to look into you, and I always say I'll put into the show notes below anyway, but to verbally say, how can people find you? Is there a website? Is there socials? Kind of, please feel free to shout anything out now that can steer people towards you.
Oh, it's just the usual socials. So Instagram and TikTok. And I think we're Ask an Architect on TikTok and Georgina Wilson Associates on Instagram. I think that's right. And we have a website, of course, GeorginaWilsonAssociates.com. And go awesome. From there.
Well, let's see if we can get more homes than the 1% you said kind of being designed by architects. And
a bit broader than that.
Awesome. The last thing I have to do is, as I know you know, because you did say you listened to a few of my podcasts before, so I always ask a random question that came in from last week's guest. So the question that comes your way this week is there anywhere in the world that you could cook or eat, and where would it be and who would you be with?
Cook or eat and or eat?
Yeah, so like, would you like to cook somewhere or would you like to eat somewhere, anywhere in the world? And who would that be with and where would that be?
Well, Italy.
Okay, yep.
If I had the skills, I would love to cook there and love to eat there. And who would I think I'd just be with my family. I know it's a bit boring, but...
Oh, beautiful. Is there a specific spot in Italy that kind of comes to mind straight away?
Look, I'd love to go to Sicily. Never been there, but it looks just so beautiful. Mm. So, yeah, Sicily, eating with my family would be amazing.
What's on the menu?
Oh, God, pastas. Yeah, all that stuff. I'm not the most adventurous
either or
anything, but that sounds amazing. Some wine, yeah.
Beautiful. Sounds good. Now I must ask you then, what's your question for next week's guest?
What's your superpower?
Superpower. I love it.
We like to talk about that often in our business. Everyone has a superpower. It's just a matter of finding it.
Yeah. Fantastic. No, I look forward to asking that question of next week's guest. And again, thank you so much for your time and thank you for everything you shared.
It's a pleasure. Nice to be here. Nice to meet you, Adam.
Likewise. Well, guys, if you, as I said, are in need of an architect or you need to ask an architect a question, please go and follow Georgina on her socials and the website and kind of reach out if you do need anything. But I do hope you've enjoyed that chat this week, guys. I certainly have. And I look forward to seeing you all next week. I love you all. I'll talk to you then. Bye.